This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you and good afternoon. Well, the Western Illinois Agronomy Day had a full house yesterday at Lincoln Land Community College in Litchfield. Angie Peltier is a crops educator for the University of Illinois, and she provided a crop disease update. I had a chance to talk with Angie after her presentation, and she had some good advice for farmers concerning disease management on their acres.
So I work at the Northwestern Illinois Ag Research and Demonstration Center. I know that's a mouthful, but we're up in Warren County, right outside of Monmouth. So it's a 320-acre research center that's owned and operated by the University of Illinois Department of Crop Sciences. So several years ago, they decided to stick a crops or livestock educator at each of our research centers, and so that's why I'm up there.
Well, great. So I just said Western Illinois, and you are almost as far west as you can go in the state.
Right. So Warren County, we do have one county to the west, but we're pretty far west.
So some of the things that you were talking about today, we focused a lot on some of the research that's been done and those results, and we talked a lot about soybeans and disease in soybeans. One thing you wanted to stress is for farmers to be scouting their fields, and just explain on that a little more and why they need to be doing this and the importance.
Sure. So particularly in this time of very, really tight margins, need to be making sure that absolutely every input that we purchase for our corn or soybean crops is something that's needed. So some years we don't have as much disease pressure as other years. Some environments we don't have as much disease pressure in other environments. And so what we recommend is that people get a handle on what exactly is going on in their field by scouting. So going out and taking a look to see, is there a problem that you need to worry about, or do you have a pretty clean soybean or corn field? And so what we've seen in some years is that at the time with soybeans where we need to be making these foliar fungicide decisions, boy, we just don't have disease pressure. We don't have anything out there that is necessarily threatening our yield potential. And so in that case, it might not be economical. So we might not be making back the cost of that foliar fungicide application in a yield response, so in a yield increase. Because what we need to do is justify it with a yield increase. And so research has shown that's the case both in corn and soybeans. So the higher the crop price and the more disease pressure that we have, the more economical that a foliar fungicide can be. But as we get crop prices that have decreased, as we get, as our yield responses are not as high as we would like because maybe we're not targeting a foliar fungicide, or we're not targeting a disease with that foliar fungicide, maybe it won't be economical in those situations. And so scouting is definitely key.
Well, it makes, to me, it's kind of like common sense. It's like assess the situation before you take action, because how do you know that what you're doing is right if you didn't see what the issue was in the first place? And it results in some cost savings too, I would imagine.
Right. So, and I totally understand some people are farming, 3,500 acres, 5,000 acres, something like this. But it's important to first target those fields where you know you don't have necessarily the best disease resistance package in the variety or the hybrid that you planted in that field. So that those might be the fields that you target first, because those would give you a good indication of whether it's a good disease pressure year. And typically, foliar fungicide is not recommended for those hybrids that have a good disease package. And so what we would recommend, particularly in the corn world, is look for disease that's occurring before tasseling. Look for it at that ear leaf or below. Do you see something that can be managed with a foliar fungicide like gray leaf spot or northern corn leaf blight? I mean, if you're seeing a bacterial disease, a foliar fungicide is not going to do anything for that. So that's important to make that distinction. But are you farming on land that has had corn the last year? Did you have a lot of disease the year before? And are you going to have conditions that favor that particular disease to continue to develop in those in that upper canopy as the growing season progresses? So the higher the disease pressure, the better chance that you can make back the cost of that foliar fungicide in yield response.
You mentioned a couple of diseases when you were just talking, but are there a couple that are the most prevalent in Illinois? Do they vary by area of the state, or is it pretty much the same throughout Illinois, but there's just maybe a few that are we see all the time?
Sure. So those two that I mentioned, northern leaf blight and gray leaf spot, those are the two that most often result in economic yield losses in Illinois. So those would be the two that I would be looking for most years. So this past year in southern Illinois, far southern Illinois, there was a disease called southern rust that came in really early, and they had yield losses of 70 bushels per acre. I mean, it came in so early, and it had that environment, so the humid, moist environment that allowed it to continue to cycle. And so they had really significant yield losses. We don't typically see southern rust in our area at a pressure that would result in a yield loss. So there are some diseases that show up periodically, but there are some that we should look for every year.
Great advice, and I think something that farmers can use and think about when planting season is just right around the corner. Some other things you mentioned during your presentation was there was a study done related to planting dates and how those dates affected the amount of disease found in soybeans. Share with us some of those results.
Sure. So over several years, plant pathologists throughout the Midwest and Canada set out to figure out just how planting date affected sudden death syndrome in soybeans. And so what they did is they basically shot for late April, mid-May, late May, and mid-June as the planting dates. And they did this for multiple years across multiple environments. And what they found was that while early planting favored root rot in root rot symptoms for sudden death syndrome, early planting didn't necessarily favor those foliar symptoms that we're so familiar with as far as sudden death syndrome is concerned. What favors that is timely rain events that occur during pod fill in particular. So the fungus remains in the roots below the soil line, but as we get rains and that water is being pulled up through the leaves, through the process of transpiration, it's also pulling the toxin that's produced by the fungus along with it. And that toxin is what's causing those foliar symptoms. So it's timely rain events during the reproductive growth stages that will most likely favor those foliar symptoms. As far as planting date is concerned, we recommend timely planting, so not adjusting planting date for sudden death syndrome management, because we still, with a timely planting, so whatever is recommended for your particular area, as long as those soil temperatures, you know, are okay for planting, timely planting will allow the crop to realize its genetic yield potential, most likely, because the longer the growing season is, the more heat units it can accumulate, the more you know, just the longer period for flowering and pod development. So that's what we've seen. Even when we've had high disease pressure, still we recommend timely planting.
And the timely planting goes hand in hand with your yield results, and there have been studies done on that too, and higher yields resulted in an earlier planting date, I believe is what you were telling us.
Right, for sure. So even when we have a high disease pressure environment, we still want to make sure that we plant in a timely manner. I mean, we're not going to necessarily push it way too early, but at the same time, we don't want to delay planting, because then we're basically setting ourselves up so that crop isn't able to realize its full genetic yield potential.
Angie, anything else from your presentation today that you would like to mention again, or anything that I haven't asked you right now, final thoughts that you may have?
Variety and hybrid selection is key. I know at this point most people have made their selections or seed selections, but boy, you know, why not set yourself up for a good season as far as disease pressure is concerned by making sure that your soybean varieties have good disease packages, and same for your corn hybrids. Make sure that you're making those selections, obviously for yield, but also for disease resistance as well.
Once again, that was Angie Peltier, a crops educator for the U of I in Warren County. And that's all we have today for your WSMI Farm Show. I'm Katie Wilson.